Shepherd's House is a non-denominational church located just a few miles from Glasgow, Kentucky, on the Edmonton Road. The Shepherd's House family invites you to Bible study on Sunday at 9 a.m., worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, and the Sunday evening service at 6 p.m. Midweek service at the Shepherd's House is Wednesday at 7 p.m. The Shepherd's House family cordially invites you to any of these services.
All of you here this morning, good to see all your beautiful smiling faces out to worship the Lord this morning. It is a pleasure to be here. I thank so very much of your pastor, Brother Jimmy, and all of you here. We got to fellowship with you a little bit several weeks ago with the benefit for the missions. I told my wife, I said, I don't know that I've had that much fun in a long time. We just got in there. We was bidding against each other. We was having fun. People was trying to put stuff on my number. I was trying to put stuff on their number. We just had a big time. It was a good time fellowshipping with all of you. And I do appreciate all of you for coming to the house of the Lord this morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Ethan Calvert. If you forget my name, by the time you leave the door, you're just fine. But if you forget who Jesus Christ is by the time you leave the door, that's not a good thing. It's not about me, but it is all about lifting up Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in the book of Romans, chapter number 6. And then we'll flip over to 1 Corinthians 15. Just a few verses to read this morning. I appreciate Brother Chris and Sister Melissa for all the work they've been doing this morning. They had a very good song service picked out for us this morning. Very good worship here this morning. Glad to be where the presence of God is, aren't you? All right, Romans chapter 6, we're going to pick up in verse number 1. If you're there, can you say amen? All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse number 5 says, For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. If you'll flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning, we're going to read just a few verses there and get right into the preaching. 1 Corinthians 15, let's start in verse 19 if we can. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all shall die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. If you would help us pray this morning. Father, as we come before you once again, we thank you for another opportunity to come and to minister your word. We ask you, Father, that you fill our mouth this morning with the words for your people, Lord. Not only those that are here present with us this morning, but those that are watching on television, live stream, wherever they may be. Lord, we ask, God, that your perfect will be done and accomplished here this morning, that Jesus Christ be lifted up and glorified in all that would be said and done. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. And can we say amen? I would like to say before we get into the word, I know some are watching by Facebook. If you'd like to share the video this morning, and some are watching by television, we appreciate your support in that. But if you are looking for a home church, I believe you are watching one this morning that is as good as any I have found and been able to come to. The people here at the Shepherd's House Church are just tremendous people. They would love you in so many ways, you'd have to love one of them. They are just good people, good, fun people. We love all of you very dearly. But if we can, for a moment, I'd like to preach to you this morning on the thought of alive in Christ. I know that a lot of people, when you read this Romans chapter 6, you think, well, here we go. We're about to get a message on sin, sin, sin. And I do believe our nation needs messages like that in the day we're living, but I don't have any problem preaching the Word of God. But you do realize this morning, if I can for a moment, I'd like to just give you a picture of what the Lord has been dealing with me on. I have a house there in Scottsville, and we've got a tree. And Brother Chris, that tree, I begin to notice there at the bottom of it, it's starting to rot. And it's fixing to fall before long. And I told my dad, I said, I'm going to have to get that tree cut, because if I don't, it's going to fall one of these days, and it could cause some damage. And now, if you'll just bear with me for a moment, when you look at this tree, friend, it don't look like it's a dying tree. It don't look like anything's wrong with it. It's budding out. It's blooming just as pretty as any of the rest of them. But on the inside, it's got a problem that has to be addressed. It is rotten from the inside out. And so it's starting to show on the outside. And I talked to some of the neighbors who had lived there several years ago, and he said, there's something special about that tree. I've seen it in every storm. It's just unmovable. It's unshakable. It's been struck by lightning 2 or 3 times. It's got marks up and down it where it's been struck by lightning. But friend, from the inside, we see that there's a problem with it, and it's about to fall. And I called a guy who was in the tree service business, and he came and looked at it, and he said, man, that's really something. How can a tree that's rotten like that just be budding out the way that it is? Well, you tell me and we'll both know. But friend, I begin to think, as God showed me that tree, that friend, there's a lot of people in the world today that are just like that tree. Friend, they can dress the part of a Christian. That friend, you can go buy them a Bible at Walmart and put it in under their arm, and they can call themselves a Christian, but on the inside, they've still got a problem. They're not alive in Christ. What do you mean, preacher, being alive in Christ? Well, friend, when you're alive in Christ, friend, you'll have a joy that you just can't explain. Friend, there's a happiness about God's people, ain't it? There's just some people you can run into at Walmart, and friend, you just know something's different about them. And friend, there was a man that I used to work with, and friend, I'm not one that goes around wearing t-shirts that says what church to ask me what church I go to, or that wears a pen that says WWJD and all these things. But friend, can I tell you this morning, there was a man who came to me, and I worked with him for a while, and he said, there's something different about you. Well, friend, I'm glad you noticed. Let me tell you what that is. It's called Jesus Christ. Do you realize, friend, when you're alive in Christ, it'll show from the inside out. I began to think the other day, as we was talking at church about the birth of Christ, how that Mary, I'm sure she began to show when she was pregnant with Christ, as most women do. When they're pregnant with children, they'll begin to have that belly, as we call. Some people will say, did you swallow a watermelon seed? And they'll joke about things like that. But friend, I believe that a Christian today, they'll be able to show a Christ living in them. And friend, that's what it means to be alive in Christ. That you're not keeping him concealed inside of you, but you're letting him out to a lost and dying world. And friend, I begin to think here that as Paul writes to the Roman church in Romans chapter 6, he says that if we've been baptized into his death, then we should get up a glorified person and walk in newness of life. Friend, we're here this week, the greatest week of the year in my opinion, Easter week. I love the week of Easter. Easter. Friend, we begin to see how that Christ would come in on Palm Sunday, which is today, and they would glorify him and say, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory be to God. And so you see that, friend, he would go on through the town there, and it wouldn't be long till he would be crucified and he would die. But friend, he would rise again. Aren't you glad that he didn't stay dead and he won't stay gone? I want you to realize this morning, friend, that if you're a born again Christian, you've got something to be happy and alive about, nothing to be ashamed of. Friend, you've got something to be excited about, and that is that Jesus Christ paid all the debt that you owed, that he buried your sin and your shame, that friend, when he rose again, the sin and the shame didn't come out, but a glorified creature. What are you saying this morning? Friend, if you're saved, you don't have to wallow in who you used to be, but you can be a new creature. The Bible says all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Friend, that's what being alive in Christ is, not thinking about who you used to be. Friend, there was a man that I saw the other day who's pastoring a church now. He used to be a drug dealer and a drug pusher. And friend, he got into church and he got saved. And friend, the church gave him a Bible, and he asked the pastor, he said, could you write down some verses here for me to share with the people I was pushing drugs to? Well, that pastor helped him out. And friend, it wouldn't be very long. The next Monday, he said that he met him outside of a building somewhere, a school somewhere, and friend, that in under some steps or bleachers. And he said, we met every Monday morning. And friend, he said, that Monday morning after I got saved, he said, all the drug heads came in and they said, have you got anything for us? And he said, oh, I've got something good for you today. They said, what do you have? He said, something I've never had before. They said, is it going to get us high? He said, oh, it'll take you higher than you've ever been. Friend, they said, well, what about it? How long will that high last? He said, it'll last forever. I've had it all week long and I still ain't got over it. Friend, they said, well, what in the world have you got? This must be worth a lot of money. He said, this thing is priceless. And they said, well, what is it? He said, his name is Jesus Christ. He said, I didn't see the drug heads coming and following me around anymore, because they saw something in me that was a Jesus Christ alive inside of me. Friend, this morning, friend, it's easy for us to be much like that tree at my house. We can butt out and we can show up every service. We can show up every time the doors are open, but inside we still have problems. We're trying to carry the problems of this life and not leave them at the feet of Jesus Christ. Friend, I believe that Jesus wants his people to take all their cares, friend, and lay them upon him. Friend, he's got big shoulders. You say, how do you know that? I've never seen him, but friend, for him to carry the weight of the world on him, I believe they're big shoulders. For him to carry my sin on him, friend, that's big shoulders. Can I tell you this morning that, friend, as I read and studied here, you can go on down in that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where we was reading, and it says that so also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. Do you realize, friend, that when you got saved, that friend, there was a lot to be ashamed of when you're in sin? That friend, sin has a shame about it. Friend, I begin to think about when I was in sin, I didn't have that peace that passes all understanding. I didn't have that joy, friend, of living. I didn't have all the things that Christ gives. But friend, the seeds I sown, friend, no matter how much I have regrets in my past life, I can't go back and change it. Friend, and neither can you. You might not be able to go back and to right all the wrongs you've done, but I'm thankful that no matter what I can't change, he can take away and he can forgive. Friend, I want you to realize this morning that no matter what sins you've carried, no matter what wrongs you've done, there is nothing that can keep you from the love of Jesus Christ. Every person that wakes up in heaven this morning, or all those who woke up in hell, friend, will have to know that there was a dying Savior who loved them to the very end, and he died, that they died in a condition with Jesus Christ loving them. Friend, how do we know that people are alive in Christ? Well, according to the Bible, it tells us that, friend, when you begin to read and study, it shows us here, I believe it's in 1 John 3:14, it says that we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Friend, I thought about that old song, give me that old time religion. It says, makes me what? Love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Friend, when you get saved and you get alive in Christ, friend, you'll not see people based on their color, based on how much money's in their bank account, based on their position in society, but you'll see everybody is somebody. Friend, I begin to think how Jesus Christ came to this earth. And friend, we was talking about that tree being dead. Friend, he came to a man named Legion one day. And friend, that he was in the tombs. Friend, he had gone about as far as you can go. He was plumb there at the tombs, didn't even have a home to go to, but he was there amongst the tombs, cutting himself and possessed with devils. Friend, why did they call him Legion? Because he was full of many devils, friend, when you study it out and you read it. But friend, Christ would come to him, and friend, the demons would cry out from him and say, torment us not. Friend, there's a lot of people that say, I don't want the preacher to preach on the demons in my life or what I've got going on. Friend, they're comfortable with the life they're living. Friend, just like that tree, friend, when the storms come, it don't look like it's going to be moved. Friend, it's comfortable in that shape of being rotten from the inside out. It's grown comfortable to those conditions. But friend, can I tell you that there's a lot of places that, friend, they may cater to that there's hirelings the Bible even speaks of, that friend won't tell you the truth. They're just going to pat you on the back and say, well, it's okay. But friend, I'm thankful that, friend, it is true that Christ loves us just as we are. But friend, I like what an old pastor of mine said. Brother Wayne Brown said, it's true that God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. Friend, he loves you too much to leave you in sin. He loves you too much to leave you miserable. Friend, how in the world could I stand up here this morning and preach to you a Christ that delivers if I hadn't been delivered myself? How could I preach to you a Christ that is a Savior, but he can't deliver you from your addictions? Friend, he can deliver everybody of every addiction. He can cure of every sickness and disease. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He took my sin when he was buried, friend, in that tomb. They laid him in that tomb. He took my sin into the heart of the earth that I don't have to go dig it up anymore and live in it. But friend, that when he came up, friend, he came up a glorified king. He came up as one that nobody had to go get him out of the tomb, but he arose again through the power of the Father given unto him. Friend, can I tell you that's the beauty of being a Christian? Friend, when I went down on that altar, friend, I didn't get up the same man. Friend, when I went down on that altar, friend, I didn't get up the same man. Friend, people will remind you of the things you've done. Friend, those things may always follow you. But aren't you glad that you don't have to live with the shame of that anymore? Aren't you glad you don't have to live in concern about what in the world will I do if I die tonight? Friend, it's a peace, friend, knowing when I lay my head on my pillow tonight, no matter what would come my way, that, friend, all things are in the hand of Almighty God. Friend, that's a scary thought if you're in sin. But when you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ and you're alive in him, that's a peaceful thought that all things are in his hand. Friend, alive in Christ, you begin to see that there in John chapter 11, there was also a man named Lazarus. Friend, that he was believed to be cousins with Christ. I don't know all the family history of Christ, but nonetheless, they were very close friends. And friend, that Lazarus would be sick and he would die. Friend, and Mary and Martha would come to Christ and say, well, if you had only been here 4 days ago, you could have healed our brother from being sick. But friend, he even asked them if they believed that he could raise him from the dead. And they said, well, we know he'll be raised in the resurrection. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Friend, and he goes on and he tells them in verse 25, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, that means in sin, that means not only just in sin, but in the physical realm, all these bodies eventually, unless we would go by the rapture, would die. But he said, though he be dead, yet shall he live. Friend, and I'm thankful that, friend, he would go to that tomb where Lazarus was at, and he would call out and he'd say, Lazarus, come forth. Friend, Lazarus would come out and he would have the grave clothes on him. He would be bound and all these things. But friend, Christ wouldn't just call him out of sin to leave him bound up in it. But friend, he said, loose him and let him go. And when he said, loose him and let him go, the chains of death had to fall off of him right where they were. Friend, if you're born again this morning, there ain't nothing to be ashamed of. But friend, you've got everything to praise God for, that he allowed you to come into his grace and his presence and be born again. Friend, I begin to think, friend, when you read all throughout this Bible, this is what this Bible's about, coming from death unto life. Friend, Peter, you look at the disciple Peter, the great disciple that he was. Friend, that he would even fail God. Friend, that Christ would tell him, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no, not me. Oh, yeah, Peter, I'm talking to you. And friend, Peter would go. Friend, the Bible even says it in one of the four Gospels that he followed from afar off to see the end. And friend, but Peter, friend, even though that he would watch Christ die, he would watch him be put in the tomb. Friend, they asked Peter. They said, what are you going to do now, Peter? He says, well, I'm going fishing. He's going to go back to the life he used to live. Well, he found out, Brother Chris, that that life wasn't profitable for him. I believe he was miserable. Friend, Christ shows up after he's resurrected, and he goes to Peter, and he's on the seashore, and he hollers out to Peter and says, cast your net on the other side. If you read and study, that's the way that Peter and Christ first came to meet, was that Peter had toiled all night long and hadn't caught nothing. Christ said, would you cast your net on the other side? And he says, we've toiled all night long. He said, cast your net on the other side. And he done it. And they took up an amount of fish that they couldn't even haul all of them in. Friend, and Christ shows up to Peter that same way again. And he says, who is that, John? And John says, that must be the Lord. Peter jumped out of that boat and ran over there to him. And friend, Christ is going to ask him. He says, Simon, Simon, lovest thou me? And he says, Lord, thou knowest. He asked him three times, friend, do you love me? And he began, I believe Peter in his heart, began to say, I don't know if I can ever be who I used to be in Christ. I failed God. Well, friend, can I tell you, we serve a God of second chances. I'm thankful that he didn't just give me a one and done chance, but he said, you know what? I'll give you mercy. When you don't deserve it, I'll give you grace. But you know what, friend? That's the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. And when you read in 1 Peter, it says there in verse number 3 of chapter 1, it says, this is Peter talking. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Friend, what's he saying? When I thought there was no more hope for me, I found out a Christ that could come alive in me that would say, you know what, though you've done wrong, I'll forgive it and forget it. And you know what? That hope alone gave Peter the grace and the joy to live. Friend, Peter was living now on the hope that he would see Christ come again and take him to glory with him. Friend, today when we come to this altar and we give our heart to God, or wherever you may pray, friend, I'm not saying that your life is going to be perfect from there on out, because I've messed up even after I've got saved. I've done things, but friend, there is a need to repent. And friend, after you repent, friend, there is no need to wallow in that sin. As Paul would even tell the Roman church, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. But we've got a new life to live. We've got a... Friend, there's lessons that my dad always told me. The best lessons are a bought lesson, because they've cost you something. And it's something that you won't forget. And friend, I begin to think about that's the way it is in my Christian walk. I've had to buy some lessons. And friends, as we read in 1 Corinthians, there's not everything I've sowed has always been a good seed. But friend, whatever I sowed in life, God can take all that away and change it and bring me up a glorified creature. Friend, if he could die and he can live again, that same spirit that brought Jesus up out of that tomb is going to be the same spirit that takes us all home. Friend, that's the beauty of being a Christian. What happens when you die? Well, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. friend, but I ask you this morning, when that spirit returns to him, is it going to be dead? Is that tree is on the inside? Or is it going to be alive in Christ? Truly, if we're alive in Christ, Brother Chris, then we're going to want to do his will. We're going to want to reach out. And we're going to want to see souls come in and be saved. Friend, I told somebody one time, I said, how could I call myself your friend if I never told you about Jesus Christ? They said, what do you mean? I said, well, why would I withhold from you the greatest thing that this life has to offer? There is no life outside of Christ. Friend, it's just, as George Jones said, that time living and dying by the choices we've made. Friend, can I tell you that there's a lot of people this morning that, friend, as me and even Brother Chris was talking, Jesus Christ is the only man that can save you. He brought this to my attention this morning, and only you can stop him from doing it. That's a bold statement. Friend, it is a choice given unto every man, life or death. Friend, you can either, there's a lot of people, sadly, as we mentioned, that are like that tree out there in my front yard, that on the outside they look like they've got it all together, but on the inside they're dying, and they're looking for something better. Friend, can I tell you this morning, I heard one preacher say, and I'll say this and try to close. I heard a good preacher friend of mine preach last weekend, and probably one of the best messages I've ever heard, and it was on coveting. You coveting your neighbor's stuff and all these different things. Thou shalt not covet. But friend, he began to ask the question. He said, is church just a fad for you? And Sister Melissa, that began to really talk to my spirit. And he said, you think about it this morning. He said, if you're a golfer, or he said, if you go to work with somebody and they're a big golfer, he said, they may invite you to go golfing with them. He said, you might not know a thing about golfing. He said, but they've invited you to go golfing, so you're going to go buy some golf clubs. You're going to go buy the nicest polos. You're going to look the part anyway, even if you go out there and embarrass yourself. He said, but then you'll go buy the most expensive clubs, and you'll go play that part for a while. And then you might get better at it, and then somebody will invite you to go fishing, so you'll put the clubs in the storage building. You'll take up fishing. You'll go buy the tackle. You'll go buy all these things to try to be a fisherman now. He said, it's the same way in the house of God. People will come and they'll try it, and they don't realize just what they have in their hands. And that is the very gift of life in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for watching our TV program. We hope that it's been a blessing to you. We could use your financial support. The TV program is doing better. We've got a few more contributions from the Chicago area. And also, we've got some now coming in from the New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico area. We thank God for that. However, a one-time contribution is sure a blessing, and it sure does help. But in order to continue, we need your monthly support. Our program bills, TV and radio comes just like clockwork every month, and we sure do need monthly support. Also, we are doing our Kenya Christmas fund for the orphans in Kenya. When we were there in 2019, we had 16 churches. Now we've got 30 churches, lots of orphans. And you can write on your check for Kenya, or you can put a note in envelope with your money order saying for Kenya, or perhaps you want to do a portion, so much for Kenya, so much for the TV. Just let the Lord lead you and guide you on that. But we do need your monthly support, and we sure appreciate it, for without it, we would not be here. You can send your check or money order to Jimmy Wilson Ministries, Post Office Box 1346, Glasgow, Kentucky, 42142. Again, that's Jimmy Wilson Ministries, Post Office Box 1346, Glasgow, GLASGOW, KY for Kentucky, 42142. too. Also, we will be happy to give a contribution letter and mail it out to you the first part of this next year, so you can have your money. Donations would all be tax deductible, as long as you've got an address and a name, so we can send you that contribution letter. We'll be happy to do that. Thank you. God bless you. And please help us pray for this ministry. God's allowing us to touch many people with the message of the love of Jesus and the repentance that's needed for all the folks in not only Kentucky, but all around the world. God bless you. Thank you so much.
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.